Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, Mother's Day. The topic for this year is extremely relevant. We all offer advice all the time in all different capacities as mothers, as parents, as friends. Shadchanim do this on a regular basis. We offer advice often for the right reasons, for the benefit of the other person. But other times, the advice is not always selfless. It's for ulterior motives, it's self-serving. So much in the world around us revolves around giving advice. Who doesn't like to offer advice? Helping professions are all about offering counsel. So hopefully, most of us give advice for the right reasons, with a genuine desire to help the other person. And hopefully the advice that we offer proves beneficial to the other person. So we offer good advice, it's a mitzvah, it's gemilas chasadim, it's a true act of kindness. But when we offer bad advice, and we know that it's not really what the person needs to hear, we may be in direct violation of a Torah prohibition. Certainly the case when you do it willfully with an intention to deceive and to mislead. And as we'll see, there are all kinds of considerations that determine the scope of the violation of the Avera. So for example, some of the variables that we'll look at. Was the advice solicited? Were you asked in the capacity of an expert? Another consideration. Was the advice which was bad advice, was it followed? Did it lead to some problem, to some mishap as a result? Did the person end up getting embarrassed? Did they lose money? Another consideration. Suppose you ask for advice and you know what you should tell them. You know the right path for the person to take and you decide not to offer any advice. You don't say anything wrong. You don't say bad advice. You just don't say anything. Suppose you offer advice, and it's not bad, but it could have been better. And you know that there was something else you could have said that would have been even more helpful. So at the end of the day, the person didn't necessarily suffer terrible consequences, but they could have done much better. So how does the Torah view situations such as these? We'd like to look together at some of the sources and see where it takes us. The first source on your sheets is a very famous pasuk. We've all heard it, I'm sure. It's in the Parshas Kedoshim that we're going to be reading next Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. They read it last Shabbos. The pasuk tells us, "Lo sekal l'cheresh." First of all, if you have a person who's deaf, you're not to curse them, even though they don't hear you. But it's just not the right thing to do. And then, for our purposes, the next part of the pasuk, "B'lifnei iver lo siten michshol." Literally, it means if you have a person who's blind, you're not to put a stumbling block in front of them. In other words, they're going to trip and they don't know it. "V'yareisam elokecha ani Hashem." In other words, the deaf person doesn't know you're cursing him, and the blind person doesn't know that you put the stumbling block there, but Hashem knows. That's a simple reading of the pasuk. But Chazal, our rabbis, have a different interpretation of the second part of the pasuk, the "lifnei iver lo siten michshol." What does it mean not to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person? Now, we are all familiar with an idea, maybe we'll come back to this in a bit, that we're not allowed to be an accomplice in another person's aveira. So, for example, if a person can't access a piece of food that's not kosher, and because of you they can eat it because you make it available to them, that's an avera of lifnei iver. You help the person do an avera. And we'll get to that soon. But actually, according to many Rishonim, the main focus of this avera is not that lifnei iver. That's also part of lifnei iver. If you help a person do an avera. But it's actually about offering advice. Iver here means not a person who's blind literally, but somebody who is clueless about something. They're in the dark, as you might say. They're blind to what they should be doing. And you offer advice which leads the person, obviously, not in the right direction, and they couldn't know. That's an avera of lifneiver l'sitin michshol. It's called etzah she'ena hogenes, an advice that's inappropriate. And this is what Rashi says on this pasuk, source number 2. Lifneiver l'sitin michshol means lifnei hasuma bedavar, somebody who is blind in a particular matter. Lo sitin etzah she'ena hogenes lo, not to give advice that's not suitable for that person. So here are some examples. Al tomar, you shall not say to a person, mechor sadcha, I have a great real estate suggestion for you. You have a field, sell the field. The kachacha chamor, you'd be better off with a donkey and have that instead of a field. Meanwhile, ve'ata okef olav v'not lahemenu. And you become sneaky, and you end up taking it from the person. One way to read this is, you become the buyer of that field, you want the field. And you tell the person, you're better off with the donkey. Oh, you want to sell the field? I'll buy the field from you. Really, it wasn't about the person, it was about what you wanted. And so the pasuk says, v'yareisa me'lokecha, that you shall fear Hashem, your God. Why does the Torah say this? Something like this is not something that naturally people are aware of. People would know what your intention is. To know if the person's intention was for the benefit of the person or to harm the person. The person could easily avoid being pinned down as having the wrong intentions. Rather, he'll say, Gotova niskavanti. I was intending to give the person good advice. Hashem knows your motives. And so the Torah says this expression various times. Whenever we have a case like this where no one would know, it's not transparent for other people to know what you were thinking, and Hashem knows, therefore you should be careful. So according to Rashi, Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Michshol is about offering bad advice. Rashi gave one example. The source for Rashi is the Chazal in the Sifra, in Toras Kohanim, on the Pasuk. And here you have a couple more examples. So one example is as follows. And we'll look at this first, and then we'll come back and see it in a more nuanced way. Lifnei Suma B'davar, somebody again who's in the dark, who's blind, Baba Amar Lach Bas, Ish ploni mahi lekohuna. I want to know about a shidduch, and I want to know about this person, this young woman, and she's the daughter of so-and-so, and is she allowed to marry a kohen? Because there are all kinds of halachas, as we know, in terms of yichus, who a kohen can marry, who a kohen can't marry. So you tell the person, al tomer lo kshera, v'hi eina ela psula. So you say, perfect shidduch, no problems in the family, no yichus issues, and of course, it's not true. That's one aveira of lifnei iver. Ha'inotem l'cha'etza, ha'titem l'etza she'en hogenes lo. This seems to work with what Rashi said. Someone is asking advice, don't give advice that's inappropriate. So for example, al tomar, don't tell somebody, say b'hashkama. Go out on for your destination, bright and early in the morning. That's the perfect time to go. Shekapchu listim. Because you're complicit in some kind of a conspiracy where the bandits are waiting on the road at a particular time. As soon as you tell the person, go leave the hotel at 9 o'clock, so you know the person will arrive at a particular point on the road at 9:30, and there they are waiting to ambush the person. So it's basically, you are part of that conspiracy, and you gave the person the advice to leave when he did. Say, but Zahariah, how about going out in the afternoon? So that the person will be in a sweltering heat. The person wouldn't know the best time to go. You know, you want to set the person up to be uncomfortable. And here another example, the one that we saw in Rashi. Al tomer lo mechor esadcha v'kachacha chamor. That okay for love and me menu. Don't tell the person to sell the field and buy a donkey, you end up taking it from him. In all of these cases, the conclusion is the same as we saw in Rashi, Shema Tomar, Eitzatova Aninosin Lo. I'm doing something which is for the person's good. It's something that only you know. Very important idea. Again, it's the simple reading of the pasuk. So we have an avera of offering bad advice in the form of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. It's not just an avera, but it comes with a curse as well. Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, there's a list of 11 things that the Torah talks about how the Leviim would announce. Arur, 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 someone who does this, there's a curse attached to it, and it started out with a bracha. First they would say baruch, blessed is someone who doesn't engage in such an activity, and then everyone would say amen, then they would say arur, and everyone would say amen. One of the lists, one of the 11 is arur mashke iver badarech, the amar kaho amen. Cursed is the one who leads a blind person astray. And what does it mean? And here again, Rashi quotes, what it means is not literally a blind person, but hasuma b'davar o masio etzara. Someone who is clueless and you offer bad advice. And this is how many of the Rishonim, those who codified the mitzvos, explain the Isser, the prohibition of lifnei iver. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Source 6, Reish Tzadites, Lo Sasi Reish Tzadites, talks about the prohibition of offering bad advice. So does the Chinuch, Source 7, Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis, Lo Lahachshil B'nei Yisrael, Lasei Suhen Eitzara'a. Again, that is the definition of lifnei iver, according to the classic Rishonim. Now, I'd like to pose a question here. So we have the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, which is clearly referring to the prohibition of offering bad advice. But there is another Pasuk that appears in Parshas Bahar, a little bit later on in Sefer Vayikra, and that is source number 8. The Pasuk tells us, V'lo sonu ish es amiso, v'yareisan elokecha, ken yeshem okechem. One Jew shall not pain another Jew. Pain, cause pain. P-A-I-N. To aggrieve, to offend, to insult. We call this the avera of ona'as devarim. To pain another Jew with words. So one way to explain that is to call ona'ah. Ona'ah is to afflict, to pain, to cause a person to feel hurt, not to hurt another person's feelings. Now, many of the examples that are given for this have to do with offering an insult or reminding a person of their past history. So, for example, Rashi, source number 9, says as follows, Kan hisir al ona'as devarim. We call this ona'as devarim, meaning with your words you make a person feel emotionally hurt. Shelo yaknit ishes chavero. That means to insult. So we'll see in a minute in the source number 10, you see there's an example, somebody who's about tshuva. So for many years they lived an irreligious life. Then they find, you know, they'll find their way to an observant lifestyle, and they become frum. And then you get into a fight with them, and then you start reminding them of how they used to be in their past life. If you bring up stuff from their past, that's a terrible avera. That's called onas devarim. Somebody who's a convert or comes from converts, and again you insult them by reminding them of their past. So that's clearly an example of ona'as devarim. That's what Rashi begins with. Shelo yaknit ish es chavero. But then Rashi continues and seems to bring in to the prohibition of ona'as devarim what we have already seen as part of the avera of lifnei iver. So Rashi continues in source number 9. Lo yasi enu eitza she'eno hogedes lo. To not to offer advice that's not fitting for that person, not suitable. Lefidarko v'hana aso shel yoeitz. Rather, the advice is self-serving. It's for the benefit of the person offering the advice, not for the person that you're giving the advice to. V'im tomar, you'll ask, mi odeya im niskavanti l'ra, who's going to know that my intention was not good? Kach nemar, therefore the pasuk here as well concludes the oration of lokecha. Fear God, hayodeya machshavos hu yodeya. He knows your thoughts. Kol davar hamasav l'lev, she'emakir misha machshavah b'libo, the only one that knows is you. That's where the Torah says, Hashem knows the erase of Elokecha. The source for Rashi, here again, is from the Chazal and the Sifra, and this is source number 10, because you see there are a number of examples that are given. Notice in source number 10, V'lo sonu ishes amiso zu hona'as dvarim. Hona'a is ona'a, it's paining with words, hurting a Jew with words, ketzad. So initially, the cases are brought, im haya bal tshuva, lo yomer lo schar ma'asecha harishonim, remember the way you used to be, nehayu, im haya ben gerim, a person descended from converts, lo yomer lo schar ma'aya ma'asav osecha, remember the way your parents were. I have the following example, which is apparently the source for what Rashi says, that you can't offer bad advice, as part of the prohibition of onas devarim. Ra'a chamarim mevakshim tvua. Chamarim are people who drive donkeys. In our society, it would be truck drivers. They transport things. So they have merchandise, or they're looking for merchandise to be able to find in order to pass it on, to sell it for a parnasa, for their livelihood. Or mevakshim yayin, they want grain, they want wine. They're looking for a wholesaler that they can purchase merchandise from. So lo yomar lahem, you shall not tell these truck drivers, l'chu etzo ploni, you want to get your merchandise, go to that person and he'll provide you with merchandise that you can sell. Now in fact, v'hu lo machar chita miyamav, that person never ever sold wheat or never ever sold wine. So what's going to happen? They're going to come to that person and say, we know that you sell wine, we know you sell wheat, we want to buy wheat. And of course, they're going to discover a rude awakening that the person never ever sold wine or wheat, and that's because of you that this happened. The Yomtoma, it's a Toba Nimosilo, I'm giving that good advice. No, Hashem knows. So apparently Rashi saw in this example that is given for Onas Devarim, that onos devarim also includes not just to insult somebody with words, but to offer advice which is inappropriate. Like the example over here, when you tell the truck drivers, go there and buy your wine there. So my question therefore is, why do we need two different sources for the same aveira, for the same problem of offering bad advice? We have l'fnei iver l'sita nichshol, and we have now the Avera of Onas Devar. So in order to appreciate maybe why we have two different sukim for what seems to be the same issue, we have to look a little more carefully at the specifics of the cases that we saw in each example, in each pasuk. And the way specifically it's phrased by the sources that we saw, the Torah's Kohanim, the Sifra, the Rambam, the Chinuch. So let's look back at source number 3, which is the pasuk l'fnei iver l'sita nichshol as interpreted by the Sifra, the rabbis on the pasuk. Notice, there's something mentioned there that is actually not mentioned in Rashi, but maybe this is very critical. The example given, first of all, is a person approaches you and says, tell me, this young woman, Bas Ish Ploni, Mahi Lekohuna. You were asked about whether a particular girl is eligible to marry a Kohen. And you're not to tell the person she's eligible if she really is not. And the next line in source number 3, Haya Nota Mimcha Eitza. Somebody is consulting you. They're asking you for your input. You're not to offer advice that's inappropriate. So what seems to be relevant here is the fact that you were asked, what is your opinion? What would you say? And this becomes all the language of the Rambam in Surah 6, Notice on the first line, you shouldn't cause a, you know, mislead one Jew another, the Eitza, through bad advice. But who, Shin Yish'olcha Adam Eitza, the Davar Hu Nichtabo. Somebody is going to ask you advice in a matter that they are clueless about. Nifta means like a pesi, you're innocent, you're naive, you don't know. So you don't know, and you ask for the person to give their professional opinion on something. And that is the problem, because you're asked. Once again, you see this in the Chinuch, in source number 7. Notice two key words. Kishe yisalu eitza. It says, lo lehachshil b'nei Yisrael, asis lem eitza ra'a, avon ne'asheru sam, kishe yisalu eitza. So we're discussing the specific context of a person who is asked, what should I do in a given situation? And that's where the Torah warns us, lifnei iver lo sitei michshol, do not offer bad advice in response to advice that was solicited from you. Now, niyasher is to straighten them, to give them the proper advice. Now, the question would be, where do we see this in the pasuk? What indication is there that we're talking about specifically such a case? Now, I have an idea maybe which could be the source. I don't know if this is, I didn't see this anywhere, but it occurred to me. Maybe the basis for saying that we're discussing a case like this is the fact that the Torah uses the words lifnei iver. Lifnei means that the Torah is setting up a situation of a relationship. That means to say that you could imagine the person who is called an iver is here, and you're in front of them, and you're placing the michshol, the stumbling block, in front of them. Now, were we to be speaking about literally a blind person, and literally a thing that they're going to trip on, then we understand the meaning of the word lifnei. They're standing in one place, and geographically speaking, there's a stone right in front that you put in front of them. Then I understand why the word is lifnei iver. Similarly, if we were discussing a case, for example, of a person who wants to eat non-kosher, or doesn't know it, maybe that's non-kosher, but wants to eat something, and they can't get the sandwich, the ham sandwich, and you offer it to them, and then now they have the ham sandwich. So you're placing the aveva, the thing itself, which is going to be the michshol, in front of them. So I understand in that case as well why you can speak about the word lifnei. But when you're talking about advice, which is a very abstract thing, so in what sense is there a relationship that's established between the person giving the advice and the person that you're giving the advice to? So perhaps what allows us to use the word lifnei is the fact that the advice is not coming in a vacuum, but the advice is being offered in response to the person having solicited from you, what should I do? That creates already a relationship between the two parties, the one who asked, and now in response you're saying what you're saying. Yeah. Well, I understand. So I'm suggesting, I know that Rashi leaves out that particular detail, but I'm noticing in the various other sources, the Sifra and the Rambam and the Chinuch all mention the fact that you were asked. There is another Rambam that doesn't mention it either, so I read that as a question. But at this point, I'm suggesting that there's something different about the fact that you're asked. And the word lifnei could be a cue that we're discussing such a situation. Now, if this is correct, then we have something that differentiates lifnei iver from the other pasuk of lo sonu ish es amiso. That pasuk doesn't talk about the case that you were asked the advice. If you think about the example over there, you happen to see these truck drivers, these donkey drivers, looking for merchandise to buy, to purchase. They're not coming to you in your capacity as, you know, as the one who knows, you know, where to get merchandise. You, unsolicited, go over to them and direct them to go, oh, I see you want merchandise, go there. And that is the problem of onas devarim, of giving that advice. But it's not only limited to a case where they asked, where should we buy our merchandise? It's simply the fact that you're offering the advice itself. So according to what we're suggesting, if ne'iver is limited to a case where you're asked, you ask, why should that be the only example? Why, if you're not asked, would it not be the avera of ne'iver? So I can think of an obvious distinction. What is worse, when you offer bad advice unsolicited, or when the person comes to you and asks you, what should I do? And then you offer the bad advice. What's worse? The second case. The second case, the person has placed trust in you. They assume that you're going to give them something which is positive. And then you betray that trust and you offer bad advice. So you can understand why the Torah might be specifically referring to a case of that nature where you're asked in advance. But if all this is correct, then you can ask me an obvious question. So who really needs that, therefore, the pasuk of lifnei'iver? Because if you already have the prohibition in place based on onas devarim, which, as we said, doesn't require you being asked. If you offer advice unsolicited, it's bad advice, you're in violation of lo sonu isha saniso, your onas devarim. So then what is added with the prohibition of lifnei'iver, which is specific to a case that you're asked? What is your opinion? You already have the prohibition regardless. So maybe we have to think in the other direction as well, that there's something that the lifnei'iver pasuk gives us that would not exist in the pasuk of onas devarim. So what could that be? So I would like to suggest perhaps the following. One of the considerations I mentioned at the beginning of this year was, you can offer advice, but now after you offer that advice, the person can take the advice or maybe decide not to take the advice. Now, maybe they took the advice, and based on the advice that you gave, something terrible should happen. But as Kadosh Baruch Hu would have it, the person ends up being spared whatever terrible tragedy would have occurred. So that you weren't ambushed on that trip home, or you invested in something which should have gone down and it ended up not going down. Whatever it was that you said, which your intention was to create some harm for the person, but it didn't materialize. They didn't accept the advice, or it didn't lead to anything bad. Does that mean that you did not violate an avera of offering bad advice? Because, I understand you weren't doing anything very good, and you were probably violating other things. The Ahavta L'Racha Kamocha, certainly you violated. I suppose that would be true. But I want to know specifically about the avera of offering bad advice. So here, perhaps, is where we can distinguish between the two psukim in the other direction. Thinking about the pasuk of Lo Sonu Ishes Amiso, which is Onas Devarim, we're discussing cases where you offer words to somebody that cause them pain, that are hurtful. So in the classic example where you insult a person, you tell them, I remember when you weren't religious, or I remember when you weren't Jewish, or your parents weren't Jewish. Obviously, the person is insulted. Now, in the case of the drivers who are looking for merchandise, and you say, go over there, and you'll get your wine, you'll get your wheat. So what happens? They go. You played a practical joke. You offer advice, but the advice comes back to haunt them. So once again, through your words, through your bad advice, you cause them harm. They're embarrassed. And that's specifically the case of Onas Devarim, bad advice. It actually came back to haunt them. And that is an example where, on the one hand, you didn't have to be asked, what do you think? You stepped in unsolicited and you offered bad advice, but it's only if it turns out to be bad, to harm the people. On the other hand, going back to lifnei'iver, here, on the one hand, it's only going to be a violation of lifnei'iver if you're asked in advance. Lifnei'iver, as we said, there's a relationship that's established, and they ask you what you think. But here, even if your advice doesn't come back to haunt them, they don't, at the end they don't accept the advice. At the end of the day, they don't get hurt by the advice. But your intention was to hurt them. And again, you were asked in your professional capacity, what do you think I should do? Even though they didn't end up being harmed by what you said, but if your intention was malicious, the Yeresa Merlokecha, you violate it immediately. So then we basically have a way of working out the two psukim. You could have an overlap, of course, in a situation where you are asked initially, what should I do? And then you offer advice, the advice is followed, and the advice that's followed causes harm. In a case like that, you have violated two separate prohibitions. Lifnei Iver, which you would violate immediately as soon as you gave the bad advice that you were asked about. You asked the bad advice, you gave bad advice. And then when it comes out afterwards that the person was affected negatively, you violate the Onas Devarim prohibition. Okay, so a person is generally doing this. We have to recognize, if you are not aware that it's bad, as far as you're concerned, it really is good. Listen, you tried, you know. No one is going to say you violated an aveira if you thought that that was really the right course. That's why it's v'yireisa me'elokecha. That's what defines it as an aveira, because Hashem knows what you were thinking. We have to ask ourselves, what are our motives? Are we thinking for the betterment of that person, or are we thinking about our own agenda? Now, what we just suggested is not as simple as it sounds. And that's for the following reason. What we just mentioned is that I can offer advice, and the advice is not followed, and I'm still in violation of Lifnei Iver. Why? Because I offer bad advice. I betray their trust. And that's a problem in its own right. Now let's consider for a second the other application of Lifnei Iver, the one that we're more familiar with when we talk about Lifnei Iver. What is that? Helping a person commit an aveira. A person, let's say in the case of the Gemara, a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. You're on one side of the river, they're on the other side. There's a cup of wine right next to you and they can't reach it. You pick up the cup of wine, you hand it to the Nazir, who's not allowed to drink wine. That's the example of Lifnei Iver in the sense of an aveira. Now, here, there's a major discussion among the classic sources. What would be the halacha in a case where you handed the Nazir the wine, and they don't end up drinking it? Now, you put them in a position to violate the prohibition of another drinking wine. So do you say, well, the fact is you put the mikshol in front of them. You gave them the wine. You gave the person the cheeseburger. Whether they ate it or not is immaterial. I placed the stumbling block in front of them. So that's one opinion, one view among many of the classic authorities, that Lifnei Iver is simply about the fact that you presented the mechshol in front of it. But many others disagree. Many achronim, and there may be indications we'll soon see in the rishonim, that suggest that it's not a violation. Again, you didn't do anything good. You probably violated your hafter racha kamocha. You're certainly not a good person. Hashem would not approve of this. But, technically, lifnei iver bosite mechshol in the form of an aveira is you caused the other Jew to stumble, that through you they committed a sin. Were it not for your input, they could not have committed that aveira. It's only when the aveira is violated that you are in violation of your share of that aveira, if you will, lifnei iver lo sitei mechshol. It's only a mechshol when they actually follow through and commit the aveira, and it was only through you that they were able to do it. But if for whatever reason it doesn't end up leading to an aveira, again, you probably did other things wrong, but you did not violate Lifnei Iver. So I will give you now the question to think about is, if we would take the opinion that Lifnei Iver lo sitei mechshol is just about putting the stumbling block in front of the person, then I understand here as well. You offered the advice, you violate this ne'iver regardless of what happens. And that would line up perfectly. But if we would follow the other opinion and assume that when it comes to an aveira, it's only when the aveira is violated by the other person that you are violating lifnei iver, so then we're back similarly to our question, then lifnei iver bad advice should also be similar to that. It should only be in a case where the person followed the advice and then it turned out to be detrimental. I understand. Okay, so let's look for a second at okay, there is a question here that whether the aveira is about causing the possibility, presenting the possibility of a michshol, or the actual causing the michshol. The Rambam in source number 6 frames lifnei iver with the words Shehizhiranu mehachshil kitzasenu es kitzasenu. Kitzasenu means a segment of the Jewish population. So some of us are not allowed, any one of us is not allowed to do what? To another Jew. Mehachshil. That sounds like the actual causing to stumble. The language of the Chinuch in source number 7. How does he define here, lifnei iver, of Eitzarah? Lo lahachshil b'nei Yisrael. Lahachshil sounds like they actually were hurt by the advice. In source number 13, in the Rambam, kohamachshil iver v'davar. Again, the language seems to be not the placing of the stumbling block, but the actual causing the person to stumble. By contrast, just to show you that there is another side of this, source 14, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, one of the Rishonim who counts the mitzvos, he's discussing the ne'iver of a nazir, for example, and he defines it as lo lahoshit iser. Kigon kol shoyayin v'nazir. Not to hand over something which is prohibited. Doesn't talk about the fact that the person stumbled. Talks about the fact that you handed the person the potential that would they could stumble on that. So this is a major discussion as far as lifnei iver is concerned. Does the person have to stumble, or they're already compromised because you put them in a situation that they're vulnerable. So I would like to suggest that even if we were to assume, in the case, for example, of the nazir, that it's only when the person, the nazir, drinks the wine that you are violating the ne'iver, because that is the nature of a michshol. The michshol is the fact that they drank something they're not allowed to drink. They did the avera. So short of that, the Torah does not view that as having caused the person to stumble. Causing the person to stumble is when they actually tripped and did the sin. But maybe when it comes to giving advice, you can view the stumbling not just in the sense of when the person followed the advice and it came back to haunt them in one way or another, and they lost money or they were embarrassed and whatever. Maybe the Torah would define that michshol, that stumbling, at the moment that they received your advice. In what sense? They didn't yet follow up on the advice. But maybe the answer is that, given the fact, as we noted before, that the person has come to you with the sense that you are the authority on this matter. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking you. I'm assuming that you're in a position to know what is right and what is wrong. I don't know, and you know, you're the expert. And then in your quote-unquote capacity as an expert, you offer advice which is misleading, and you know that. At this moment, what have you done? It's not just that you put the person in a situation that they might end up getting hurt later on. You've hurt them right now. Because after all, what are they thinking in their mind? You are the expert. And you have told me that this is the proper course of action. This is the correct perspective. So what have you done? You basically corrupted their mindset. You've given them a perspective which is faulty. They're asking you, what do you think on this matter? And you tell them, this is what you should do. So by giving them the perspective which you know is not correct for them, you've caused them to stumble at this very moment. Irrespective of what happens later on, and whether they take your advice, don't take your advice, whether they get hurt later or not, you've hurt them at this very moment. So it would come out, even if you assume generally that for you to violate lifnei iver in the form of causing the person to do an aveira, it's only when the person trips and does the aveira. When it comes to giving bad advice, the tripping already occurred. The person has been affected negatively just because of the perspective that you've offered. And all of this is true because, after all, you were asked. Were you not asked? So you might offer your input, but that doesn't create the same kind of impression. After all, if the person is asking you, then they're basically accepting in their minds in some way that you have something to say about this, and therefore they're much more impressionable than if you offer the advice unsolicited. Now, of course, you'll all ask me, well, you can have a lot of situations in the other way, where a person is very charismatic and very, by nature, he's known as an expert, and they come on their own and offer advice. And in that case, you would think that the person's also been corrupted through hearing what you say to them. And then there are cases where the person might ask you and they don't really take you seriously. So why are we drawing the line where we are? And I think the answer is that the Torah speaks about as a rule. Of course, there are always exceptions in either direction. But the rule is that when you're asking somebody for advice, generally you're receptive to what they have to say. And your natural feelings are that what they say is valid. And therefore, that's what the Torah says, that you've corrupted them through your advice, irrespective of what happens later on. On the other hand, if you're not asked, so, okay, you don't take it necessarily in the same way, and therefore the Torah didn't give us the prohibition in a case where you weren't asked. So, in a sense, we're back to where we started in answering the two psukim. We have one pasuk of Lifnei Iver L'Asita Nichso, we have another pasuk of Losonu Ish Es Amiso. Both speak to a situation of offering bad advice, but they don't necessarily overlap, but they could overlap. We have one pasuk of Lifnei Iver, which is specific to where you ask the person, what do you think, and they respond in a way which they know is not the right advice for you. In that case, they violate Lifnei Iver immediately. And we explain because that would be considered already a betrayal of your trust, or you could put it in terms of corrupting your mindset. On the other hand, the other pasuk can even occur as a violation when you were not asked. You came unsolicited and offered advice, but only when the advice that you offer leads to some harm in the form of being embarrassed and so on, where you violate onas devarim. If you have a case where you were asked and you respond, and the advice is going to ultimately lead to some negative consequence, you have violated both prohibitions, both of Ne'iver and Onoas Devarim. Perhaps that's what we would conclude. Now, I want to share something very interesting in this regard, and that would be the following. We discussed earlier the following case. Suppose you're asked for advice, and you don't say anything. You don't say specifically advice which is bad, but you don't say something that could help them. And you know that there's something you could say that would be helpful. And by saying nothing, the person is not going to be supported with whatever you could support them with. So again, you violate the Racha Kamocha, that would be clear. Conceivably, could you be in violation of Lifnei Iver by saying nothing? Okay, so what does that mean, shtika koda? That you're implying by silence that there is no solution, when you very well know that there is. So based on the logic that we're arguing, I don't know that this is true halachically, I wouldn't necessarily want to take it this far, but I'm just considering the possibility, and there may be an indication which we'll look at in a second, the language of the Rishonim, but one could certainly make the case that by saying nothing, you are also corrupting the person's perspective, because you leave the person with what impression? That there's no answer, there's no solution. And this is such a problem, such a vexing problem, that solution that you know is the best is not in the cards. That is, and the truth is that it is. So you again corrupted their perspective by not saying anything. Now, where would I get this idea from? The fact that if you look at several Rishonim, and we'll look at right now in a second, you get the impression that Rifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol is not just about that you not offer bad advice, but it also is about the obligation of offering good advice. As if to suggest that short of offering good advice, you might also be potentially in violation of Rifnei Iver. Just a second, just to show you where I'm getting this from. Number one, Surah 6. Surah 6 is the Rambam. And look at the language of the Rambam carefully here in the Sefer HaMitzvos. HaMitzvah HaReish Tzadites, he, Shehizhiranu Mehachshil Kitzaseinu Es Kitzaseinu. That means we are warned not to cause another Jew to stumble. The Eitzah, with advice. The who? Sheim Yish'olcha Adam Eitzah. Somebody asks you advice. The davar hu niftabo, something that you're clueless about. Uba'a ho'ashara niliramoso u'me'achshilo. Comes the Torah's warning that you are not to deceive the person and cause the person to stumble. And now look at the next couple words. Aval, you asked about the word before. Tiyashirehu. Tiyashirehu means to lead the person in the proper way. El hadavar shetachshov shehu tov v'yasher. You are to lead the person down the path that you feel is correct. So the Rambam introduces, as part of his definition of the prohibition, what you ought to do. Not just what you ought not to do, but what you ought to do. Now, you might say, well, okay, because the Rambam is just giving you the full picture. Let's wait a minute. And notice how it repeats itself in other Rishonim as well. Even more pronounced, in a more pronounced way. The next source, Sefer HaChinuch. Look at how he defines the prohibition. Lo lahachshil b'nei Yisrael. Not to cause Jews to stumble. Las Yisrael eitzah ra'ah. To give them bad advice. Continues the Sefer HaChinuch. Avo niyasher osa. Kishe yishalu eitzah. Rather, we ought to give them the proper perspective. The meshena min shehu yosher v'eitzah tova. To offer what we believe to be the proper advice. Once again, the Chinuch is intertwining the responsibility of the person who's asked, what do you think, to offer good advice, together with his formulation of the prohibition of offering, of not offering bad advice. Now again, you could just say, well, he just wants to give you the whole picture. So I want you to take a look at another source or two. Source 11. One of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, in Sefer Shari Tshuva, is now giving us the prohibition of not giving bad advice, Lifnei Iver. And what does he say? Od husharnu min ha-mikra hazeh. We are warned, based on this pasuk, the pasuk he's referring to is Lifnei Iver lo sitein michshol. We are warned, what? Lahasi eitza hogenes la'asher yoetz mibnei am-ivoetz mibnei amenu. To offer suitable advice to anyone from our fellow Jews who's going to ask. V'lo l'achshilo be'etzan niv'ara. And not to make them stumble with bad advice. What would you have thought he would say first? Not to give bad advice, and then add for good measure how important it is to give good advice. He is framing the prohibition first and foremost by the obligation to offer good advice. And then from there he goes and tells us what you shouldn't do. Even more explicit is Source 12 in the Smag, one of the Rishonim, Moni HaMitzvos. And he happens to hold that the main Yifnei Iver is about not causing another Jew to do an Aveira. And then after that he mentions the idea of not giving bad advice. But how does he describe the prohibition of giving bad advice? O darshu rabboseinu milav zeh. Our rabbis have also explained, based on this pasuk, the following. Haba lishol etza. Again, the emphasis on asking. Somebody comes to ask advice, mimcha from you, tein lo etza hogenes. So what I begin to hear in all of these rishonim is that the prohibition of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol, which is not to give bad advice, is intertwined with the obligation to give good advice. If I take that to its radical conclusion, it would leave us with the impression that if you don't give bad advice, but you didn't give good advice that you know is good, you are also in technical violation of lifnei iver. How could anyone say such a thing? I think you can make the case that since the problem of lifnei iver is the fact that you're corrupting the perspective of the person, because after all they came to you with an expectation that you are the expert and you know what's proper and right, and you know what is right, and you don't say it, you've also corrupted, passively speaking, you've corrupted their mindset. Now, after saying this, though, I think it's a little bit much to swallow, and maybe this is what you're asking. It's a bit hard to take it to that extent, so I want to maybe qualify this somewhat, but yes. So this is another issue. If you're in a position to step in to save a person from getting hurt, injured, and something like that, then you're dealing with issues like Osamna Adam Reyecha and other prohibitions that also have to do with Hashavas Aveda, for example, is a perfect illustration of how the Torah wants us to be concerned for the welfare of another Jew and that they shouldn't lose their money. So all the more so, if a person is in a position that they can lose money and you can save that person from that type of occurrence, of course you have to step in. But I'm talking specifically about the technical violation of lifnei iver. It may not even have to do with money, but I know there's something that would be helpful to them, and they asked me, again, the critical variable that they asked me, and I decide not to tell them. And again, it would be a bit of a stretch. One reason it's a stretch is because the words of the pasuk seem to suggest that you're passive or you're active. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. You should not place a stumbling block. If I say something and it's the wrong advice, I did something in the form of giving them the wrong advice. If I don't say anything, I don't know if you can call that I placed a stumbling block, I just didn't say anything. Okay, you can debate this, but I think there's another way that we can perhaps read the various Rishonim, which is also something important to bear in mind. And it's one of the considerations we mentioned at the beginning of the shiur. You see, not everything is absolute. It's not as if we can talk about good advice, bad advice. There are two doors, two choices, A or B. A person asks you and you say A, and really you should have said B, or the reverse. There are many situations which are more nuanced, more complex. There's more than one answer. Some answers are better than others. In a way, here is where we can have the litmus test in terms of the various Rishonim who talk about the importance of offering good advice at the same time that they're framing the prohibition of not offering bad advice. What does bad advice mean? Bad advice means bad in the absolute sense, that there's something which everyone understands is harmful. What about something which is parav, or not so terrible? It could have been a lot worse. What about a situation where you know there's something that would be the best course of action, but what you say is second best? So now what? You offered advice, not necessarily evil, not necessarily bad, but you knowingly offer advice that's second best, not first best. What that person really needs is, they need to invest here and not here. But you have a desire for that person not to get $1 million, it's enough for you that they get $500,000. Or fill in the blanks. You offered advice. In the absolute sense, it might not be bad. Would that put you in violation of lifnei iver? I would propose, maybe this is what the Rishonim are alluding to. By bringing in the obligation to offer back good advice, tiyashrehu, to steer the person in the path which you know is their ultimate success, What they're saying is, you see, if they would just said, don't offer bad advice, you would say, well, okay, there was a lot worse I could have said. So maybe that's not called bad advice. But if by phrasing in terms of offering the ultimate, the best that would serve them in the best way, what they're suggesting is if you offer advice which is second to best, you also violate your neiva. Your obligation is to look out for them in the best way possible. Again, what you don't know, you don't know. But to the extent that you know that something is better for them, and you might have an ulterior motive not to offer that advice which is in their ultimate good, that would also put you in violation of Lifnei Iver, even though what you said was not terrible. Again, it's something that we could think about as far as what we have here. So it puts it in a bit of a different perspective. I would maybe add that we had another problem. Besides the problem, we had a curse. Orem Mashke Iver Badorech. Perhaps that would be worse. There, Rashi says, it has to do with Eitzah Ra'ah. That was the language of Rashi at source number 5. Masio Eitzah Ra'ah. So perhaps you could argue in the case that I just spoke about, where you offer advice which is not evil, not bad, it's just second best. So perhaps it wouldn't go under Or Mashke Iver Badorech, but certainly you could be in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, and as far as the perspective that you're corrupting by telling the person this is the best course of action for you, when you very well know that's not really what you should be saying, what the person needs to hear. I think we're out of time, but okay, we'll take your question. Look, it's a very delicate issue, and I think it's important just before more than anything else that we become sensitive to it. Obviously, the more that we're sensitive to it, the more likely we are to strive for the whole, you know, for the ultimate level, which is really the ultimate mitzvah that we have of offering, you know, a person good advice, which Hashem really would be most pleased with, and hopefully we can avoid the pitfalls that come, you know, with all of these situations that, of course, could be problematic. So, we'll see you again.